That was beautiful. Thank you very much. It's kind of amazing. I went to choir practice last week, just for a little while. It's amazing how much this choir puts into singing for you on Sunday. It's pretty amazing. Thank you. This morning is the beginning of stewardship, canvas. It's going to be an exciting month. It's a month-long activity, actually. So you're not going to hear about it every Sunday, but you'll hear about it a little here and there. You're going to get mailings, all sorts of fun stuff. And you have a wonderful stewardship committee, which I might add, I saved you this morning's stewardship committee because Roberta said to me, I want to surprise them. I said, no, you're not going to tell them. They have to light the chalice from the pulpit. She was like, okay. So anyways, I saved the stewardship committee. This whole month is chock full with fun-filled opportunities to share your thoughts, enjoy our coffee house, attend a multi-generational play, or an English country dance. It is not time yet to garden. It's not time yet to play golf. I'm not sure about you, but I'm a little stir-crazy. After the weather we've been having and the pronouncement that we'll see snow tomorrow, I've been seeing the squirrels out, running. I'm like, oh, they're looking for nuts. I think they're running low. I saw a chipmunk this morning running into the stone wall. I said, skinny, he's hungry. I wish I had some nuts. I didn't. This month is a perfect time to get involved, to gather and to think about our hopes and dreams for First Parish and strategically plan for our future. Next Saturday, March 8th, we'll be having such a dreaming, hoping, planning meeting, and I want us all to be here. I think I put something on your heads last time I talked about this. What did I say? I said something like, plagues be upon you. I took it back. But there's no more important commitment than for our future. And so I really want to invite you next week to just make this a priority. We need you. I need you. And I promise it will be an excellent use of your time. It's not going to be boring. It'll be fun. There'll be a lot of good stuff going on. Della has promised this, and I have promised it back to her. So we're very excited about it. But what I want to really convey is that in front of us, we have opportunities to meditate together, to endeavor to eat ethically together, and to uncover what we believe together, to write a creed, and then to share that in worship. And as if that wasn't enough, because it's a big month, also on March 30th at 3:30, I will be installed as your 44th minister. It is March, and we have an abundance of gathering and opportunities on our horizon. If anyone, like say for example me or a doctor in the congregation, if anyone were to take the pulse of this congregation in an annual checkup right now, I would say our energy is up, our bad cholesterol is down, our sight is a little bit clearer, and frankly, we need to work out more to build our core strength. What does building our core strength look like? Yoga, sit-ups? Well, sort of. But building core strength actually requires no opting out. I know sometimes I want to get up in the morning and go drink a cup of coffee or tea and not go to the gym. Am I alone on that? Yeah. But you gotta go, right? You gotta go. Or go for a walk or do something that gets your body moving. And each one of us needs to participate fully in order to build and maintain this meeting house and this congregation. That's what it's all about. And here, right here is the nugget. This is the real deal. If you like the history, if you like the beautiful building in the center of a historic district and the programming and the music, which of course you do because here you are, then there shouldn't be any question about giving your time your energy, and your financial support. There's really no question about that. What the real question is, without bantering back and forth or hedging, is how much can and will each of us be able to give? What will it take to help us feel generous? What will it take to feel compelled to be good stewards of the legacy that we have been left and ensure its endurance into the future? What will it take? Stewardship goes beyond First Parish and is almost always about showing up and participating. It is about calling and lending a helping hand to those subsisting next to us, but also to those beyond this corner and our reach. Being good stewards is a seminal part of our commitment to being Unitarian Universalist astronauts on this blue-green ball traveling through space and time. I believe that it is our duty and our commitment as human beings to be mindful, to live a life in balance, ever aware of how we affect one another. It takes us thinking beyond this moment and this place, and yet here we are, right here and right now. Being mindful of now with our eye to the horizon. Historically, this ideal of stewardship has been around for a very long time. And of course, it is biblically based, as are most important tenets of humankind. In Genesis, our creation myth, based on a much older set of Sumerian creation myths, it is said that on the sixth day, that God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, ruach, I have given every green plant for food." And it is so. I read that passage again and again and again, and I just wonder if it's really calling us all to be vegetarians in a way. I hadn't read that before this time, but I digress. The point here is that we have been given dominion over all. In many ways, it's believed that these verses in Genesis entitle humankind to exploit all the resources of this planet, to use everything up. And yet, if that were truly the case, the resources of our planet would have been used up long ago. Our forebears had the future in mind. In 2 Corinthians, we are reminded that the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Now that was a message from Paul to the Corinthians. Give it up. God says to do it. Sharing abundantly. It's a state of mind, really. Is the cup half full or half empty? The definition of stewardship is to take care or look after. With regard to stewardship, and I'm pulling all the stops out here, I turn to the Dalai Lama. You know, because the Buddhists, you know, they don't really think that much about stuff. Stuff. But here's what the Dalai Lama said. Our ancestors viewed the earth as rich and bountiful, which it is. Many people in the past also saw nature as inexhaustibly sustainable, which we know is the case only if we care for it. It is not difficult to forgive destruction in the past that resulted from ignorance. Today, however, we have access to more information, and it is essential that we re-examine ethically what we have inherited and what we are responsible for and what we will pass on to coming generations. It is our responsibility to be good and mindful stewards. We are called by every sage and mindful community to be aware and to take care of one another and our legacy. Let's think about it. Catholics, evangelicals, Congregationalists, Jews, some Buddhist sects, Hindus, Muslims, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, pretty much every religious community on the planet has an understanding about the concept of stewardship. They have creeds. They have professions of faith. They have a roadmap, tithing at 10% of their gross income, spiritual practices and rituals that can help each member to understand their level of commitment and responsibility. Unitarian Universalists, on the other hand, we do not have a straightforward roadmap. We, members of the clergy, expect a lot from you. We invite you to take a leap with us, to wax on and wax off about creating and connecting to something greater than our individual selves. We go on and on about going within and finding that essence of self with a capital S, and ultimately to glimpse and to realize our connection and responsibility to one another and to the beloved community. Making a commitment to building the beloved community begins with the acknowledgement of our connection to the spirit in one another and to the universal energy that connects us to everything, to the all. Some call this energy creator, God, goddess, spirit of life and love, Allah, Yahweh. Some do not acknowledge a creative force in the universe, and yet here we are. There is potential in the air that we breathe. This potential entity or energy is far beyond our comprehension, but building the beloved community is not. We know this. We have this. Our work together during this lifetime and at this place is all about acknowledging and honoring what we can do together. It is all about honoring our connections with one another and endeavoring to build up a place that calls us and those who find their way to this place to be our best selves. Welcome, sustain, inspire, connect, and work for justice. That is what building the beloved community is all about. We have to be aware of the importance of being good stewards of hope, love, and faith on this planet. Remember, we are the voice of reason in the public square, and that is a fact. In a poem called The Low Road by Marge Piercy, she shared the power that we each hold, and I feel it's apropos. Two people can keep each other sane, can give support, conviction, love, massage, hope, sex. Three people are a delegation, a committee, a wedge. With four, you can play bridge and start an organization. With six, you can rent a whole house, eat pie for dinner with no seconds, and hold a fundraising party. A dozen make a demonstration, 100 fill a hall. 1,000 have solidarity in your own newsletter, although we have our own newsletter. 10,000 power in your own paper. 100,000, your own media, 10 million, your own country. Goes on one at a time. It starts when you care to act. It starts when you do it again after they said no. It starts when you say we and know who you mean, and each day you mean one more. Unitarian Universalists, First Parish of Sudbury, you and I, we are a tribe, endeavoring to do the right thing, to stand on the side of love, and to make a difference in the world. You and I, we are in this together. My mother used to share this little rhyme with me when I was a child that I absolutely loved, and now many years later I understand why. I'm guessing that many of you may have known it or heard it. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors, and there's the people. I remember as a child how mysterious I thought that simple act was. I'd be like, how's she doing that? That's really interesting. Years later, as I stand in front of you, the implications of that small, short rhyme sink in. They really sink in. And it begins with our hands. Two hands, motivated and maneuvered by our minds. With our hands, we build the church as well as the steeple. And with our hands, we are the people. It takes the engagement of our minds and our hearts and our hands and resources to make this simple rhyme come to life. Here's the church, and there is a steeple. Open the doors, and here are her people. It is so simple, and yet it's not simple at all. On this stewardship, also known as Canvas Sunday, I ask you to open your minds and your hearts to realize your place in history as a steward of our future, to stay mindful in the present with your hands, create and maintain this church, also known as a meeting house, the steeple and the people. Without you and your annual commitment, both financial and volunteer, the First Parish of Sudbury, the loving and important message, the liberal and diverse congregation, and the good works that we do in the world from Sudbury to Cambodia would not be possible. We are at a pivotal moment in history. We are poised to realize the future of our dreams. We need only to begin by daring to dream those dreams. We are the ones who can build the beloved community. I believe that wholeheartedly. A community that would have to be diverse in belief, race, identity, class, gender, and orientation, where all are welcome. That is the beloved community of my dreams. Those who find their way here and the rest that we invite would be welcome. My friends, believe me when I say that the beloved community is ours to build. It starts when we say we and know who we mean. And each day, you mean one more. I'm going to invite you to just stop for a second. Not stop listening, but take a look around. Just look at each other. Seriously, don't be shy. Take a look at each other. How many times do we stop and worship and just think about each other? Each one of you make it happen here. Each one of you. It takes all of us to share the good and liberal news of love and to stand and witness on the side of love, to call out oppression and wrongdoing, and to raise up and model good works. It takes being inspired and courageous and faithful in the face of fear to be so audacious, to think that we can and will change the world. As a friend and colleague of mine, Reverend Patrick O'Neill, once shared in his congregation when speaking about Canvas Sunday, he said, "It is all about each one of us looking inside for what we most treasure and value about our church and making a personal commitment as we are each able to do so to empower those values in community." I invite us to think these weeks in March as think of these weeks in March as a journey of sorts, one of abundance, where we will travel together, imagining, cultivating, and committing to our future as members and friends of First Parish of Sudbury. I invite us to be caught up, really, and I mean this, caught up in the spirit of abundance, and to be generous beyond the wildest dreams of your stewardship committee, because I have faith in you. Also remember that your pledge is secured. So regardless of what our future may bring, First Parish, the members and friends, those people around you, we have your back. Plain and simple, this is our time to take it to the next level in community outreach, in spiritual exploration, in welcoming and inviting people to come for a visit, in raising funds and bolstering our endowment. We'll take each one of us to build our core strength. Each one of us. In closing, I want to thank you. Thank you for your support over the years, because I know you have, because we wouldn't be here right now if you hadn't. And all that you continue to do, volunteer, financial, just your mind. And I also want to thank you for the generosity that motivates you and invite you to pledge beyond what you have, enabling to secure our legacy far, far, far into the future. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen.